Last weekend, Father Dooley spoke very beautifully concerning just do it, and how that phrase really encapsulates the worldview of our society, the principle upon which we lead our lives, and on how we as Christians should not follow that principle. And I reflected a little on this phrase and said, okay, what could we use as an opposite slogan? What is the opposite, but still in sort of the same realm of thought as just do it? And the words of Scripture struck, namely, let it be done. These were the words of Our Lady when the angel came to her announcing the birth of the Savior. And she said, let it be done to me according to your word. With that phrase, she accepted God's will and began the restoration of God's order in the world. Likewise, let it be done is the phrase that we find in the Lord's Prayer when we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't some vague wish that maybe God's will somehow or another gets done on earth. It is us praying with all of our hearts that God's will be done in our lives, that our lives and our actions, our thoughts, our feelings conform to God's will. And so, in saying, thy will be done, we aren't doing simply whatever we feel like or whatever we want. We aren't just doing it. We're comparing ourselves to the law of God that he has written in our hearts and in Holy Scripture, and we are conforming ourselves to that. Now, there is another petition from the Lord's Prayer that today's gospel seems to touch more on, namely, lead us not into temptation. Just like if we are people who pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are not acting simply upon any whim of ours. Just so, if we are people who truly pray, lead us not into temptation, we will also not put ourselves in sources of temptation, and we will not lead others into temptation. And this is precisely the meaning of the second half of today's gospel. First, where Jesus says that anyone who causes these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better if he were thrown into the sea, is referring to scandal and how we should avoid leading others into sin and how serious that is, that we should set a good example for one another. And then, as Jesus goes on to speak of cutting your hand off and cutting your foot off and plucking your eye out, this is not a literal thing he's considering here. It's a rhetorical device, but its import is that we should avoid those things absolutely that we know lead us to sin. That if there is some situation that we find ourselves in, that if we have a choice of going there or not, we must cut it out of our lives so as to cut sin out at the root. These are what we call occasions of sin. And when we go to confession, we make the resolution in our act of contrition to avoid those things that lead us to sin, or another way of putting it, avoiding the near occasion of sin. And this is a serious obligation of ours. And the seriousness of this obligation is proportional to two things. First, the seriousness of the sin to which some occasion leads us. So if you have a situation or a set of circumstances that you know leads you into a mortal sin, deliberately putting yourself in that situation is also a mortal sin, because you know ahead of time that you are risking your soul. Likewise, an occasion of sin, entering into it, is made more serious the more likely that occasion is to lead you. So, for instance, the near occasion as opposed to a more distant occasion. And in general, we understand this as things that for a normal person would lead them into sin, but we also have to understand them according to our own set of circumstances, to our own proclivities, our own favorite little vices. Those things that we know are going to lead us off the path, we need to be very careful and deliberate about if we truly want to avoid sinning, which is, after all, a major goal of the Christian life. So, for instance, let's say my favorite little vice is eating cookies. And I have developed a habit over time of whenever I see a cookie, I just have to eat it. Now, of course, that developed over time. The more that I just looked at a cookie and ate it without thinking about it, the easier it became to do so, to the point that perhaps this isn't so good for my health. And so, in order, because of that habit, I have to make certain plans ahead of time to avoid that situation. I can't simply have a jar of cookies that I'm going to walk by all the time. If you've got a little jar of cookies that you like to stare at all the time, the game of whether you're going to be able to avoid eating the cookies is already lost. You might have to find a way to hide them, or if it's bad enough, to even not have them in the house at all. But the point is, you have to plan these things ahead of time, because once the thought pops into your head, oh, well, you know, maybe it's fine just this once, again, the game is already lost. You're going to eat the cookie. And you can see how this is especially serious if, say, you have diabetes and the cookie could be a serious concern to your health. And for all these things, it's important to avoid the sin and the things that lead us to sin. So whatever it may be, it might be a group of people that we hang around with that are gossiping all the time. You know, we can try to change the group, but if we find out that that won't work, we might have to give up the group. Ohio State football, it's a good thing. But if it's driving you crazy all the time, if it's making you angry incessantly and nothing you can do changes that, you might have to, as sad as it is to say, have to give up Ohio State football. That's hard to believe. Maybe I should have done that last night. If the situation is drinking, then maybe you should avoid bars. If it's getting dragged into hours of wasted time on the computer or on the phone, maybe you have to find some measure that puts it out of reach, a different room, a special location, or maybe timers and such. If you find that even those don't work, you might have to forego these things for a while. And that can be a difficult decision to make. You have to make tough choices about how you rearrange your life. But in consideration of the importance of our salvation, if we know something leads us to sin, no matter how hard it is, we have to give those up unless they are absolutely necessary. And that isn't so common. Because what is a moment of convenience compared to eternal life? What is a moment of fleeting pleasure compared to the joys of heaven? And remember always how strongly our Lord speaks against the occasions of sin. He says, cut it out, pluck it out. It would even be better to be maimed in the kingdom of heaven than to go into the fires of Gehenna. But the good news is that grace helps us. Frequent confession helps us to overcome our faults, whether it's a serious sin or even if it's just a little fault. Acts of penance help us to improve our self-denial, to consider the ways of the Lord over our way, so that we can say, thy will be done. Just as we say, lead us not into temptation. With God's help, let us be able to pray these two phrases of the Lord's Prayer with all our hearts, with total honesty and trust in the Lord's goodness to save our souls, he who loves us so much. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.